You're listening to Radio 1190, the best independent music.
Well, howdy, howdy, hi, folks. It's about 5 o'clock here on Radio 1190. Actually, it's exactly 5 o'clock. This is Ukulele Loki, joined as always by...
It's 5:01. It's Uncle Jeff. It wasn't exactly 5 o'clock. Well, we're doing pretty good here. We got a good show for kind of the Easter, the religious aspects today. And I'm going to start you off something right away here from last week's show. It was a Friday a week ago down at the Larimer Lounge. Iron and Wine did some stuff off their new record. And this brand new one, which is Sodom, South Georgia, is really an awesome song. First time I heard it was during the show. And the new record is great. But here's a live version to start you off. Stick around, we're going to get into the honky-tonk, and we'll tell you some stories, and I think we're going to talk about bullfights.
I think it's all going to come up, folks, so those of you squeamish, be prepared. Here's Iron and Wine on Route 78 West.
Last time there was a big blizzard when we were here. You guys remember that? Sodom, South Georgia, slept on an acre of bones. Slept through Christmas, slept like a bucket of snow. Papa died Sunday, and I understand.
is good. White tongues hang out. God is good.
please tell me that I should have waited. They say I'm missing a whole world of fun, but I am happy and I sing with pride. Find pleasure in things I despise. I like the Christian life. My buddies shun me since I've turned to Jesus. But I still love them, they burden my heart. I'll try to lead them to walk in the light. And things I despise, I like the Christian life.
Oh, don't you? Do you like the Christian life, Jeff?
I sure do.
Do you know
like,
much about that? Because I sure don't.
I like the Leuven Brothers, that's for sure. Those are the guys that originally did that, and then the Birds picked that up. That's where I first heard it. But I'm kind of coming to our butt because it's Easter today.
And it is.
We started off the set there with Sodom, South Georgia, brand new one from Iron and Wine, Sam Beam. Real nice track there. A lot of alliteration and talking about a town waking like a tree full of bees. I like that. It's almost poetry.
He's very poetic.
And then Scud Mountain Boys there with Sangre de Cristo. It's the blood of Christ for you non-Spanish speakers out there.
Gracias, tío jefe.
And I think we're going to do one or two more in this vein, and then we're going to ramp her on into the standard honky-tonk and trucker songs that you know and love of the Route 78 program. And we've got some fun stuff a little later in the show we're going to be covering. Kind of a Mexican detour here with a discussion about bullfighting as well as playing you a bunch of bullfight-type songs.
I think we'll definitely have to get into that. In the meanwhile, I wish you all a happy Easter, if that's of your taste. If not, I hope you all had a great Passover or whatever it is you were doing with your holiday time. It is a Sunday here. I went down, you know, I was hanging out with little ones. I'd have a one-year-old, a five-year-old, an eight-year-old cousin, and I was a little confused on the holiday. I knew that the Easter hamster came down the chimney and brought little shamrocks wearing a green hat and took your teeth or something. I don't know. There's something weird going on about that, but we hid eggs and did the whole bit. It was loads of fun.
That's almost as symbolic as it sounds like some of these guys that we met down in Mexico went up to see some Indians that they basically have a bunch of kids. Let's put some music on. We'll rattle for a minute.
I thought we were going to say bullfight
music.
We're
still talking now, so something
there. Let's put this up there.
We met some expatriates down in Mexico who were a lot of fun to talk to, and they were actually going to slip into a little bit of the incognito mode and go watch some Indians about 250 miles inland in the mountainous areas. And they basically let a bunch of kids run for about 3 days until the strongest and the best of the dancers and runners gets to be selected to be buried in a box for a couple days.
And I think they actually ritualistically paint their bodies and they run around naked and they play pranks on all the local townsfolks, and then they do bury this kid. And I guess, do they actually put him in a coffin with a breathing
box,
apparatus?
He's got some reeds for breathing and some food. I don't know what they do for the bathroom. We didn't ask that.
They symbolically stone Judah. I know that. And
then Easter Sunday, they just dig him up and celebrate the rebirth of the Christ child and do all kinds of hallucinogenics. So,
that's the Cora Indians, who are sort of cousins of the Huichol down up in the jungles outside of Puerto Vallarta. And I can't wait to hear more about that. When we get a report back from those folks, we'll be sure to fill you folks in as well, because it does sound fascinating.
All right,
let's go back to the Christian theme.
The Christian thing is, we're talking about juxtapositions when you take one thing and you put something else with it. And this show obviously has some references to Uncle Tupelo and some of the things that brought the first round or second round, third round of all country, whatever you want to call it. And I'm going to play you Satan, Your Kingdom Must Come Down. It's an old song. done in a rockin' style. This one's coming from Nice Place Chicago, 1993 live version, so enjoy.
P-A-I-N-T, and then they'll have the brass to say they're S-A-V-E-D. It's G-L-O-R-Y to know that I'm S-A-V-E-D. I'm H-A-P-P-Y because I'm F-R-E-E. I once was B-O-U-N-D with a change of S-I-N, but it's B-I-C-T-O-R-Y to know I've crossed within. Are so in ICE. They do their hair in the latest style, just B-O-B-E-D. They go to parties every night, drink W-I-N-E, and then they'll have the nerve to say they're S-A-V-E-D. It's G-L-O-R-Y to know that I'm S-A-V-E-D. I'm H-A-P-P-Y because I'm F-R-E-E. I once was B-O-U-N-D with a change of S-I-N, but it's V-I-C-T-O-R-Y to know I've crossed within. I've seen some boys lean back and puff their S-M-O-K-E, while others chew and spit out all their J-U-I-C-E. They play their cards and shoot their guns and drink their P-O-P, and then they'll have the brass to say they're S-A-V-E-D. It's G-L-O-R-Y to know that I'm S-A-V-E-D. I'm H-A-P-P-Y because I'm F-R-E-E. I once was B-O-U-N-D with a change of S-I-N, but it's V-I-C-T-O-R-Y to know I've crossed within. I know a man, I think his name is B-R-O-W-N. He prays for prohibition and he votes for G-I-N. He helps to put the poison in his neighbor's C-U-P, and then he'll have the brass to say he's S-A-V-E-D. It's G-L-O-R-Y to know that I'm S-A-V-E-D. I'm H-A-P-P-Y because I'm F-R-E-E. I once was B-O-U-N-D with a change of S-I-N, but it's B-I-C-T-O-R-Y to know I've crossed a bend.
Saturday night in the barroom, a gospel singer walked in, and bravely she read from the Bible and begged them to turn from their sin. Oh, come unto Jesus, she pleaded, He'll be your staff and your rod. When one of the drinkers said to her, why, I don't believe in your God. I don't rightly know how you prove them, that pack of lies that you've said. If there is a God up in heaven, I dare him to strike me down dead. The silence that followed was awful. The others stood there in fear. But the drunkard just laughed and kept saying, why doesn't your Jesus appear? Then one of the others who stood there said, that's enough of that now. What leads you to think that Lord Jesus would bother with you anyhow? You're only a bum and a drunkard, and nothing that you can say could reach up to God in his heaven and make him go out of his way. And then came the voice of a stranger who stood just outside at the door, a stranger who simply was passing by, for no one had seen him before. Oh, listen to me, all you people, the place lit up as he smiled. Our Lord marks the fall of a sparrow, and every man is his child. There's none so great or so lowly that God's sweet mercy denies, and even the ones who denounce him will never be lost in his eyes. And then he lifted his right hand and smiled upon everyone, and the last words he said were like music, I know because I am his son. Now each who was there will remember those words to his very last day, when Jesus appeared in a bar room and told of God's wonderful way.
We've got that sleeper hold on Satan and the body slam on sin. I thought my life was counted out, but then Jesus tagged on in. Now the devil is fading fast with the heavenly arm locked under the chin. Got the sleeper hold on Satan and the body slam on sin. When I was a little girl, Mama was full of information. She said, your life is just like a wrestling match. There's no disqualification. See, the devil's just like a dirty wrestler that uses every trick he's got. And your soul is like a championship belt, and he wants him a title shot. And when he gets you in the ring, you can bet it won't be a fake. He'll come at you from every angle that he can, every cheap shot he's gonna take. He might use a foreign object or pull you by the hair. And be sure to guard down below the belt, cause it loves to get you down there. We've got that sleeper hold on Satan and the body slam on sin. I thought my life was counted out, friends, and Jesus tagged on in. Now the devil is fading fast with the heavenly arm locked under the chin. Got the sleeper hold on Satan and the body slam on sin. Oh, pin him now! their friends and neighbors, mommies and daddies, little boys and girls, hamsters and gerbils, and manic depressive heavy equipment operators everywhere. You know, the other night I was sitting at home in the world headquarters of the First House of Polyester Worship, watching the television, and I came upon one of those rock videos so popular with the kids these days, and my stomach churned in disgust as I saw young, nubile teenage buttocks twitching in anticipatory gyrations to the demonic rhythms of a heavy metal band. And friends, I fell asleep with lust on my mind. And as I lay there dreaming, I dreamed that my soul was being portrayed as the championship match on a Saturday morning wrestling show, and they were interviewing the devil, and he was saying this.
You know, Billy Wirth, you're just in a long line of mortals that have tried to take my title away from me. There was Jimmy Lee Swagger. There was Brother Jim Baker. None of them could get the job done, and you, redheaded geek, you, you're not going to get the job done either. I'm the Prince of Darkness. I'm the man with all the power. I'm the man that's going to defeat you, brother. I've got the fires of hell stoked, and they're red hot. Billy Wirth, I'm coming.
And
for
friends,
you.
I woke up in a cold sweat, and I was sore afraid. But then a gentle voice said, Billy, Jesus is the champion in life's eternal bout. He's watched you in the preliminaries. Now for the big one, he'll be there to help you out. You see, your prayers are just like push-ups in his glorious heavenly gym. And when your soul is on the ropes, this could be it forever, Billy Wirth, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, when your soul is on the ropes, he's reaching for the tag. Yes, when your soul is on the ropes. Wait a minute, he's reaching, he's made the tag. Here comes Jesus into the ring. Jesus with the right, Jesus with the left, Jesus with a burning bush to the head. He's doing the one walk on his spine. Wait a minute, he's got the devil up, he's got him in a sleeper hole. This could be all for Satan, it could be, it's all over.
You got me this time, Reverend Billy, but remember, I'll be back.
Yes, when your soul is on the ropes, you can always count on him. We've got that sleeper hold on Satan and the body slam on sin. I thought my life was counted out, friends, till Jesus tagged on in. Now the devil is fading fast with a heavenly arm locked under the chin. Sleeper hold on Satan and the body slam on, body slam on, body slam on sin.
The glass and come back home to me. There'll be no misery when you're safe in my arms. Please throw away the glass, it will ruin your life. So return to your wife. From harm. Please never touch a drink again until you stop to think again of all the lonely, lonely years and the endless tears. Please throw away the glass. All the lonely, lonely years and the endless tears. Please throw away the glass. It will bring no relief, only heartaches and grief. Please come back to my arms.
All right.
Answer songs are beautiful things.
All right, here. I had to actually yeah, say a few nice things on this one. Betty Cody there, Put Away the Glass. That's kind of summing up the holidays here for some folks, probably. And then Reverend, he is a real Reverend, Billy Seawards.
Maybe I think for the Church of the Subgenius or something.
No, it's the Church of the Illuminated Illuminati. And, it's, okay, he's got a sleeper hold on Satan, a clever novel created.
Your prayers are like push-ups. Right?
I guess.
They're just like push-ups.
And Eddie Arnold there with Jesus and the Atheist. That's something I like. I hope you guys could take that. Blue Sky Boys with S-A-V-E-D. You know, if you listen to this show, you've been listening to Route 78 at all, you know I like the Blue Sky Boys. And that Bear Family box set they put out about 2 months ago, you know, it's really pricey, but if you're into this kind of stuff, it's worth its weight in gold. Big hardcover book and just a great, great, great set of discs, five discs. And started off with Uncle Tupelo with Satan, Your Kingdom Must Come Down, with some screechy fiddle from Max Johnson.
Well, all this Christian music may be all fine and well, but you're still not going to get me to go see The Passion, because I tell you, I have a real squeamish and hard time seeing blood. And on that topic, I've got a little something I'd like to go ahead and get into right about now. Let's
you
bring up the appropriate
up,
music.
Just
no,
reading.
I'm just going to kind of go right into it. So let's get the appropriate theme music in the back here. Some people say that bullfighting is a beautiful and graceful art form, a rich and colorful dance between man and animal. I'm sure once you get past the part about it also being a form of ritualized bloodletting ending in the eventual murder of a large mammal, it's just exactly like dancing. So when my father, who has been photographing amateur bullfights in Puerto Vallarta for several years, said to me, "You probably don't want to see a bullfight," I surprised him by saying, "I'd love to," or, "Well, I need to," or, "I don't know, but yeah, let's go." Having resolutely made my decision thus, we embarked. My traveling companion here, Uncle Jeff, said, "You know, you are going to have a tough time with this one, pal," and I didn't argue with him. In Mexico, it's considered rude to show up for a dinner party less than an hour and a half late, and yet when we pulled into the parking lot at 5:04 p.m., we could already hear the spirited shout of the trumpet. In Mexico, nothing starts on time except the bullfight. The flyers even go the extra step to indicate this distinction, every Wednesday at 5 p.m. sharp. Uncle Jeff and I hopped out and made a dash for the ticket booth while my father parked the car. As we topped the stairs leading to the upper row of the ring, I looked down and saw a handful of young men in pink costumes, tight pants and short jackets, each carrying a cape, yellow on one side and pink on the other. There were cheers from the crowd amid the hysterical sound of the trumpet, scorching and excited. An American woman in her early 50s pushed past me, weeping, tears in her eyes. I heard her sniff and emit a soft whimper as she left the stands. I shifted my weight and looked past. That was when I saw the bull. He was not a fresh bull. Judging from the blood running down his shoulder, we had missed a great deal of the fight. My first and immediate impression at that moment was of a color. Red. Even against the bull's oil-black fur, the blood was so red and thick it was hard to imagine that much blood coming out of one animal. It would have been more plausible to picture someone pouring a bucket of paint across its back. What had happened? That's when I noticed its tongue, chalky and white, lolling from side to side methodically. Just then the trumpet sounded again, announcing the arrival of the matador. Also in pink he came, posing like a proud rooster. And on he coaxed the exhausted bull around the ring until eventually he jabbed a large sword right behind its shoulder. It stuck, the bull faltered and got up again. Again he jabbed and again the bull faltered, eventually falling down. Finally, one of the other men in the pink costumes from earlier came out with a small ice pick type sword, jabbing the bull three times behind the head. It gave one final kick and died. I just witnessed the tail end of my first bullfight. If you'd like to hear more about that, I think I'll post this story in its entirety for those of you folks that want to read the gory, gruesome, strange details of the bullfight.
I don't think that would go over too well in Boulder there, pal. There's something to see. I mean, there's form. There's definitely some historical aspects that are interesting to see. But it is kind of hard to watch large animals not have it too good. I was hoping that somehow they would win.
Well, that was the thing I was a little sad to discover, is that the bull never wins. You don't win. I think occasionally if the bull is really brave, they'll turn it back out to pasture. But for the most part, it's really not a sport. It's not a competition. They do say it's like dancing, but it's... it's also kind of a lot like ganging up and killing an animal. I do have to say, the costumes were pretty impressive. The music was great.
Why am I thinking about my boss and myself at work? I have no idea. All right, let's play South of the Border, and we're going to play couple things here. Got to thank my old pal Dave for he actually took all these Herb Alpert records that we're featuring so prominently today, and He was a roommate back about 8-10 years ago, and he actually slid him in my record collection, and I'm pulling out something Brian Eno, and then, whoa, there's a Herb Alpert record. And it used to be looked at as, like, these were the worst things, toxic, practically.
Oh, they're awful. Well, my theory on that is that every house that was built during the years that Herb Alpert reigned, I think, came complete. It was, like, it was standard for a house to come with maybe a fridge and some of the appliances. I think it also came with the entire set of Herb Alpert records, because I've never been to a thrift store and not seen the entire collection at every thrift store in the country, so... They're out there. They're
all right, mass-produced. Here's South of the Border from South of the Border of all records here. And the Tijuana Brass, Herb Alpert.
Thank you. you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah, a little more El Picador, a little more about that that trumpet we've been talking so much about. Kind of getting into a bullfight phase here on Route 78 West today.
That's Calexico. That's actually coming from the Fox Cedar about a year or two ago. And, you know, one of the things that's funny is I realized Calexico and Herb Alpert are actually pretty close to those degrees of separation. And
it's about 180 degrees on the opposite end of the chart, I think.
El Picador actually refers to the Picador, which is, in this case of the bullfights we saw, he's a pretty chubby guy. He's like a failed matador that every kind of boos and hisses. And he's a mean guy that comes out on a padded horse. They actually... you know, they take care of the horse at least and put pretty thick pads on the sides so that when the bull hits it, we got the illustrious opportunity of seeing one of the horses get lifted by the bull.
Yeah, I thought it was going to go over.
And the Picador has pointed jabby sticks, and he sticks them in the side of the bull, and that gets the bull even more mad.
That's actually the second attack on the bull. The first one are the guys that have the little, they're like shish kebab sticks, and they run up and stick it into his neck. And then the Picadors come out, and that bull doesn't stand a chance. Pretty much after the Picadors go, I was really shocked by how wasted the bull is by the time the matador even comes out. I mean, if the matador doesn't wave the cape, the bull's just kind of like stand there going, what? And then the matador's like, come on. You know, he almost has to encourage him to run at him. At least the one we saw, it was just...
You know, in all the gruesome ceremony, all the stuff there, there's a full band, mariachi style. It's mostly just horns, bass, and drums. And these guys were playing. It's kind of fun. You know, some of the trumpets and there were even some clarinets were a little out of tune, but that adds to the atmosphere.
The music was terrific. And, you know, I do have to say, we were seeing amateur bullfighting in Puerto Vallarta. And so these guys are not full matadors. They're Novaros or something is what they were called. I was able to understand sort of what the appeal is. I mean, it's instantaneous drama. I mean, you have costumes, you have music, you have life, you have death, and it does date back to ancient times, and it's really a skill to be able to go up against this this bull. Of course, the bull doesn't stand a chance, but that's not the point. The point isn't, is the bull going to win or not? It's how gracefully are these guys going to kill the bull? And, you know, I eat meat, so maybe I need to confront my my blood shyness. We got a good call from our friend down there, the Colorado Daily. Bronson called in and said that we needed to go out and rent The Brave One, which was a film about a young boy who rescues a bull that was supposed to end up sort of meeting his doom at the hands of a matador. And apparently it was written by CU's own Dalton Trumbo, one of the illustrious screenwriters that has ties back to Boulder, and I believe he was blacklisted as well, if you can... So I don't know, that in my heart usually gives someone a lot of credibility. I think if Joseph McCarthy went after you during that era, you were probably doing something right. Or I don't know, that's where my sympathies lie.
You know, so somehow, as we do on the show, we're going to reconnect ourselves back to the Route 78 West experience and play a little Gene Autry here. This is Mexicali Rose, and we'll kind of be dancing around this theme for a little bit. So stick around, guarantee towards the end it's going to get strange.
Buenas tardes, amigos. Once again, the Alta Vista Oil Company brings you Gene Autry and his caballeros broadcasting from across the border in old Mexico.
some sunny day. Every night you know that I'll be pining. Every hour a year while I'm away. Dry those big brown eyes and smile, dear. Banish all those tears and please don't sigh. Kiss me once again and hold me next to Pally Rose. Goodbye.
Cafe greets me like this. Sit down, sit down, take a load off your chest. All right, boys. Mm-hmm.
trying to move her, but her heart just ignores. Oh, I've been playing and dancing all around, hard like a TV with a sound turned down. Guitar on, the whole band's jumping, but my love's lying down. A fight breaks out when they start playing the Emperor song. Jaime's jaw is busted now and I'm still alone. Jaime's jaw's busted and I'm still alone. Song.
Out of the border, down Mexico way, that's where I fell in love when stars above came out to play. And now as I wander, my thoughts ever stray south of the border, down Mexico way. She was a picture in old Spanish lace, just for a tender while I kissed the smile upon her face. For it was fiesta, and we were so gay. South of the border, down Mexico way. Then she sighed as she whispered mañana, never dreaming that we were parting. And I lied as I whispered mañana, for our tomorrow never came. South of the border, I rode back one day. There in a veil of white by candlelight, she knelt to pray. The mission bells tolled that I mustn't stay. South of the border, down Mexico way.
I mustn't stay.
All right, that's Gene Autry, and again, that is coming from the movie. This is a nice CD of, I think they just put a recorder near the projector to get the quality they've got on these, but it's kind of nice to hear them coming from the movie. They're a little different. And
oh, I love it.
Yeah, we're playing a few things there, and
On the topic of Gene Autry, I'm noticing a real weird thing. It's really kind of quirky when you just keep doing the thing you do, and fashion somehow travels in that arc that it does and catches up with you, and all of a sudden you're in style for 6 months, and then it fickly fades away. Well, right now I noticed the New York Times has got a men's spring fashion spread that came out a week or two ago, and in it all those, you know, those. Their hot, sexy New York model guys are all wearing Gene Autry singing cowboy shirts and cowboy hats, and I'm sure it's, again, another phase and a fad. But I think we're in style this month, Jeff.
I've been wearing flannel shirts since 1968.
Well, I mean musically. You know, Jeff's got that grizzled old lumberjack look down to a science. Or the Colorado hermit, I guess you could call it.
Yeah. Danger, stay away. All right, hey, you know, we're talking on some of the things that are interesting about the bullfight, but to get to Mexico and actually see some of the stuff, I think there's some interesting... That's kind of cool.
I like that.
Yeah, let's hip-hop with that. Can you scratch it?
Yeah, we got a little...
Mess with that in the background. A little loop going on. One of the fun things of going across the border is you get to go through customs, and when you got a long beard and wear camel pants and look kind of like, you know, like an instigator, you get a lot of questions.
Instigator.
Instigator was a question I got a couple times, and also one that when they give up on that, and you can say no, señor, they go, how about profesorio scientifico? And I go, see,
you got to understand, Uncle Jeff's got a big long gray beard, and it's.
And there's not a lot of them in Mexico. It must be because of the climate.
Some people thought Jeff was actually like some kind of Indian radical revolutionary who'd come down because he got fairly tanned.
I took that as a compliment. You know, one of the things I get my little political piece in. Loki had his earlier on some of this. Yeah, one of the things I think I'd like to see in my lifetime, which hopefully will be long enough to see it, is I'd like to see borders for places just disappear. I mean, for us in Mexico, we are on the same continent, and there's such a difference in disparity in lifestyles. I think economics dictates that if you open up borders, you gradually shift and change some of that, and it would be a much saner and more humanistic way to look at the world. So anyway, you know, you'd get rid of green cards. So anyway, we had our green cards going in there. They make you do a lot of stuff, and... my favorite was at the airport. We saw this sign.
Coming into Mexico, yeah.
And you tell it.
The sign says, and I don't know if it was a translation problem, but it was more fraught with meaning this way, I found. It said, please apologize for the inconvenience. So we felt as we were entering Mexico that we should probably apologize for the ridiculousness of the border conditions.
No, I think they were talking about the president that we have. But
yeah,
that's sorry, guys.
For the world, I do have to apologize. I got to say, you know, I mean, the reason this country is a great country it is because historically, we've been able to bring in lots of people from around the world to continually bring an influx into this country. And honestly, you know, people say go back where you came from. The reality is, unless you forgot all about that Mexican-American War, I mean, a lot of people were here before us. A lot of people from south of the border got sent that way and were up in, you know, places like Colorado and New Mexico and California and Texas before all that mess started. You were saying you got a great visual of the border as we were passing over in the airline.
Yeah, actually, we're rattling, but it's one of these things. We'll rattle on. I like looking out the window. I'm a geographer by trade, and I like looking at all the landscapes, and actually the great thing on the planes these days is they have a little plane that follows a good 3D contour map and get to see everything. But the border itself is really oppressive and pretty staunch when you look out the window and you see this long straight line of fence and canal, and it just goes in both directions as far as the horizon, and it's a no man's land. So
what I found equally oppressive was the little TV screens they have right in front of your chair, and so many people on the airplane, they don't even look out the window. It's like, you guys, you're flying, you are so far above the earth, this is miraculous, enjoy it, look out the window. But they're watching advertisements that are being beamed at them. I don't know. I'm getting off on it because it's TV turn-off week. Is the 19th through the 25th, and I'll be rattling about that in a week or two.
We do take a lot for granted. I still don't believe the planes can actually fly, but I'm going to play you a song here. I was thinking about this.
And the Earth is flat, and we didn't really go to the moon. And aliens built the pyramids.
All right, yeah, and you are an alien, pal. All right, we're going to play a track here that I did think about this morning. I was putting some things together, and Bruce Springsteen's probably last great record in my eyes was a while back that goes to Tom Joad, and it was kind of a dark and honest record, and a couple songs about Mexico and just the kind of the status of people today. But this is one of the ones that I think really hit me. It's called Across the Border, and it's somewhat topical for the conversation we just had. So take a listen here.
Radio 1190,
Route 78 West, Radio 1190. Hey,
KVCU Boulder.
That's right.